you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my handsome co-host, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the king of the caulks, the king of the party, really, at this point. What's up, brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing great. I'm a world traveler now, Davey Smith.
Where are you?
Currently in Denver, off to Sandpoint tomorrow. Checked out Red Rocks for the first time. I'm living it, baby.
Oh, look at that. Well, come follow Robbie the Fire Bernstein around as he's on tour, having a bunch of fun. And then don't forget, I'll be at Freedom Fest in just a couple weeks now. And then I'll be at Young Americans for Liberty Revolution 2022, speaking with some other great speakers there. I know Michael Malice, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Glenn Jacobs, Kane in the WWE. It's going to be a hell of an event. So I'm looking forward to both of those, both Freedom Fest and Young Americans for Liberty's Revolution. So I'm very excited for all that stuff. So hopefully see some of you guys out there. And what other dates you got coming up, Rob? Anything else you want to plug?
Sandpoint, Idaho and Seattle this weekend. And then, 2 weekends out, I've got Nashville and Atlanta and then more dates coming at you.
All right. Very good. Oh, and for all
some
my other stuff.
Store.
There you go. Summer Porch Tour. For all my other stuff, comicdavesmith.com website's been redone. So go check that out. Okay. So a few things to discuss for this episode. There were some remarks by the president, who I have to continuously remind myself is in fact the president. He said some things. He gave a speech. And, you know, they got them all methed up or whatever it is they do to get Joe Biden to carry him through a speech. He said one particular thing that really got him a lot of pushback. And then his advisor kind of doubled down on the comment when asked. So take a look at all of this and have some fun breaking this down. So here is Joe Biden. Once again, I must remind everyone he is the president of the United States of America.
Let's call him Dimension Chief. I feel like that's a better title.
It's not bad. Well, he is the president. Whether or not he knows that is anybody's guess. But he is the president. Here is him from his speech yesterday.
Drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war.
As long as it takes, so Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine.
So there's Joey Bides. He was asked, how long, will Americans have to pay these high gas prices? And he said, as long as it takes to defeat Vladimir Putin in Ukraine, which there's so much here. He goes on in the speech to say that Russia is the reason why gas prices are so high and all this other stuff. But, you know, if you can, first of all, it's ridiculous to blame everything about high gas prices on the conflict in Ukraine, Russia's war in Ukraine. And in fact, I guess we're all just supposed to pretend to believe that the Putin price hike, or whatever they're calling it, was so bad that Putin invaded Ukraine that it actually sent gas prices going up well before he even invaded. You know, that's how bad his invasion was. Somehow we're all supposed to believe that. So that's number one. It's all kind of ridiculous to blame this on that. But even if you conceded the point that, you know, this Russia's invasion of Ukraine is the reason why gas prices are going up, or, you know, our response to Russia's invasion in Ukraine is the reason the gas prices are going up, because that's a whole different thing, right? Like, it's the same way that they, when they would talk about the lockdowns, they would talk about that as the effects of the pandemic, as if there was no other, as if it's just a given that you had to have lockdowns if you have this virus. And therefore, the cost of the lockdowns is really the cost of the virus. But there's a whole other option in there, which is like, well, but you didn't have to respond to it this way. But even if you would grant that, we had to respond to Vladimir Putin with these sanctions, and that is 100% the reason for the increase in gas prices. Even if you were to grant all of that, which is bullshit, but even if you were to grant all of that, what are Americans getting for these higher gas prices? Putin hasn't been repelled. He's winning the war. Even all of that, all those narratives about how Putin's fallen flat on his face and he's actually losing the war, have you noticed that those have all started to go away? People aren't even really saying that anymore. People aren't talking about how much the Ukrainians are kicking the Russians' ass, because they're not. So,
because we made our payment, the $800 billion that had to go over there and make a payment to our, I guess,
I think it's 80, you know, to be fair.
What was it?
80. 80.
Was it 80? Billion.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, maybe you're right. But they keep sending more, so it's hard to keep track of.
We'll get there. Hey. Well, you were thinking optimistically. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
But
people made their money, so they don't have to sell it anymore.
Right. But so this idea, and you got to think it's pretty an unbelievable thing to like look at, and this is part of the reason I think why Donald Trump's kind of America First rhetoric was so popular, and understandably so, is that imagine looking, you know, these people, you know, the American people in the eyes, who are just getting crushed under these prices for gasoline. I mean, really just being destroyed by it, and telling them, yeah, you're going to have to feel this pain as long as you can so that Ukraine is ruled by Kiev rather than Moscow. I mean, I'm just saying, human nature, if you're getting like destroyed, like your quality of life, your standard of living is being greatly damaged. You and your family are suffering from something. But hey, you're going to have to suffer as long as it takes, again, to make sure that Ukraine is ruled by Kiev and not Moscow. How does that sound to you? Like, on a, seriously, like how? I think most people would go, I care much more about my family being crushed than I do about what's happening thousands of miles away from me in two countries that, you know, you're talking to your average American here, like two countries that they really have no interest in, didn't know anything about until the media started obsessively talking about how Ukraine is the last stand for democracy, you know, as they jail political rivals and like as the government seizes news outlets. And disbands the political parties, that somehow we need this Zelensky guy to beat this Vladimir Putin guy, that this is so important and worth it. It's revealing about where their priorities lie. You know, you would think
it's also not even an attainable goal. So yeah. It's nonsense. It's not happening. So why did we invoke this war, and why do we continue to push it? We could have de-escalated this thing months ago.
Yeah, no question. And at least could have tried to, not rather than intentionally escalating it, intentionally provoking more conflict. But you would think, right, like a politician would have to, and look, we all know politicians are corrupt and they lie and all of this stuff, but you would think they would at least have to sell you on the idea that they're doing something for you. like rather than selling you on the idea that I'm imposing a sacrifice on you for some, you know, goal of containing Vladimir Putin, you know. And then of course they have to like have this very abstract thing that what he's going to take over the world. I know they were able to sell this with the Soviet Union, but I think most people could just kind of see the difference between Vladimir Putin and Joseph Stalin. And I'm not even saying like morally, although that obviously there's a like, I'm not even saying like, oh my God, he hasn't killed tens of millions of people. I'm just saying the idea that he's really going to take over the world because he moved in on Ukraine. What, explain to me how that gets to be like where this country with a GDP smaller than Italy is going to what? To after this costly war, what they're going to just keep? I mean, I'm saying it's not impossible that they expand a little bit beyond Ukraine, but the idea that this is some menacing threat that the American people must suffer in order, I don't see how this is possibly selling well. So anyway, there's been a big backlash from this. And then one of Biden's top advisors was asked about this on CNN, because this is the thing that people objected to in the speech. And he had this to say, which just ended up getting more pushback.
Sustainable. What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
Now, there you go. Now, first of all, it's interesting when they start by saying what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation. You know, they just have to convince you. What you heard from the president today was a strong young man willing to stand up for his value. There's never been anything that was a clear articulation that's come out of this president's mouth. But there he says it right there. You know, here's the question. Question is, well, what about the person who says, yeah, I can't continue to pay $5 a gallon for gasoline for months. Like I can't afford this. It's going to crush me. And he says, well, what you heard from the president today was that we're going to do that. And why? To maintain, quote, the liberal world order. This sent a lot of people into a fury. It is something to tell people. It's like, I mean, he basically just says, it's like, well, why do we have to suffer so much? You're like, oh, for the new world order. That's why. Because, you know, we got to keep up this new world order thing that we've been doing. And that in itself is pretty funny. By the way, this thing, a lot of people are online saying, well, look, he said the quiet part out loud here. They kind of revealed that the conspiracy theorists were always right or something about this. Or this is always true when you use the term world order. Or this is always the response when you use that term. But just to make it clear, this hasn't been the quiet part. They've been saying this for a long time. I mean, Henry Kissinger wrote a book called World Order. The phrase New World Order was used by Bush Sr., by Henry Kissinger, by a whole bunch of like really powerful people. It's not as if now, and they also use these other terms like, you know, homogeny or the, you know, whatever. They have a bunch of terms for what, you know, what it is. It's really the American Empire. That's what it is. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is iTrust Capital. Obviously, a lot of people are very concerned over inflation and people are thinking about how to protect their money. A lot of people during these times turn to cryptocurrencies and precious metals, and the smartest investors are doing it through retirement accounts. Retirement accounts like IRAs and 401ks allowed you to trade your crypto and gold tax-free. And the easiest way to do that is with iTrust Capital. All iTrust accounts are IRAs, which means you can invest and trade crypto, gold, tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or another retirement account like a 401k, you can roll those over with no penalty or taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now crypto can be traded as easily as stocks. No keys, no complex process. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger. It gives you digital ownership over physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. So this isn't like owning a security or a derivative or some other financial contract. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part, iTrust Capital has low transparent pricing. They're 90% cheaper than their comparable options. So if you're looking for an IRA to trade cryptocurrency or precious metals tax-free, go to itrustcapital.com. And if you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get your first month for absolutely free. And they're also going to send you a free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide. So one more time, go to itrustcapital.com, use the promo code POTP for your first month free and to receive the crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide, all at no cost. If you're interested in learning more about iTrust Capital, I recorded a short conversation with the CEO. He kind of explained in a little bit more detail what the company does. It's posted over at the Gas Digital sponsor page. iTrustCapital.com, promo code POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. Liberal world order is a real euphemism. Like they don't mean liberal, you know, in the classical sense of the word. They mean neoliberal. And what neoliberal really means is the American empire. I mean, that's what this all is about. And that, you know, it's not like in the from the true meaning of the word liberal, it's not like they're like, you know, liberal, like all the lockdown countries, you know, we have to maintain these liberal societies. I mean, if you really examine them, these societies are pretty goddamn authoritarian. But that really is... There is an admission there, and that's really what it's about. And it's not about, you know, like I know I've made this point before, but it'll help you like really decode and understand what these people are talking about if you just always look at it from the, like, understand what they really mean. What they really mean when they say liberal world order is the American empire. And if you look at it that way, things just make a lot more sense. And it doesn't matter exactly what tool or organization is being used. It's like, okay, technically Ukraine wasn't brought into NATO, but they were brought into the American empire, right? We had a coup there in 2014, overthrew the government we didn't like, put in the government that we do like. They are now in the world order. They're now in the American empire. And Vladimir Putin invaded America in that sense. So this is when you see Max Boot. He was on one of the Sunday shows last week, and he said, we have to stop thinking of this. Max Boot, if you don't know, is like one of the neocon, you know, foreign policy guys. And he said, he goes, we have to stop looking at this as Ukraine's war and look at this as America's war. This is our war. You know, basically we were attacked. And this is true from their perspective. Like, this is true if you think that America's role is to be the world empire. In that sense, the empire was attacked. But if you actually look at the countries that are inside the empire versus outside of the empire, you could certainly say that a lot of the countries outside of the empire are authoritarian. Russia is an authoritarian country to some degree. China, to a much larger degree, is an authoritarian country. But that's not really what distinguishes them from the countries inside. I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia is inside the American empire. They're far more authoritarian, I mean, even than China. You know, now they're not as big a country or as powerful an economy as China. But I mean, what Saudi Arabia does is some pretty brutal shit. Saudi Arabia, if you were to compare Saudi Arabia and, say, Iran, it's not very clear Saudi Arabia is more liberal, right? So why are they a part of this liberal world order? Oh, because it has nothing to do with being liberal. It's just the American empire. They're our puppet, and Iran is not. Iran is outside of the American empire. So that's really what this all comes down to, is that Russia is outside of the American empire, and Ukraine was inside. So they took a piece away from the American empire. So what they're really telling you here is that American citizen, you must suffer for the American empire, which is basically what the whole thing always is. It's that the American empire is at the expense of the American citizen. Now, Americans get confused over this because they have this idea in their head that America means the middle part of North America, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Plus, you know, Alaska, Puerto Rico, or whatever, right? They're like, that's what I'm, Hawaii. That's what I'm talking about as America, that area. But that's not what these people are talking about. They're talking about the world. And so, yes, they're quite happy to sacrifice the people who happen to be living in this geographical location to maintain a world empire. And in this case, they see it being important that Vladimir Putin is destroyed in order to do that. That's really what they're telling you. Hey, if that is how you feel, then okay, you're on a good course right now, you know? However, if you think that maybe dominating the entire world is not worth sacrificing you and your family's suffering for, then maybe it's really none of our business who rules Ukraine. Maybe we don't have to sacrifice anything. Of course, I digress from my initial point, which should be pointed out again, which is that all of this has nothing to fucking do with Ukraine. We don't have high gas prices because of Ukraine. I believe you had Gene Epstein on your show on Run Your Mouth, which people should go check out if they're interested, really kind of breaking down how this increase in gas prices is just not because of Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine or the response to it.
Yeah, well, what Gene was explaining is that the oil that otherwise would have been coming from Russia is now just going to India and China. So, like, if you looked at it as one big bathtub of worldwide oil, it's not like we've actually taken away supply. It's just going to different locations. Does that make sense? Like, yes. In other words, there's not a decrease in global supply. It's just going to different locations. So, like, that shouldn't really affect pricing. I think the untold story in American gas prices is that you have to make investments that might take 10 or 15 years until they're profitable to increase supply. It's things like the Keystone Pipeline, or it's getting more of the producers online, or building a well. And these things might take 15 or 20 years before they're profitable. So if you're in a new regulatory environment where a president comes on and says, hey, we don't want oil, we don't want fossil fuels, we're moving towards green energy, are you going to make those investments that you might not be able to see profits on for 10 or 15 years? Or if you're even at risk of, let's say, Donald Trump comes back in office, but then you got AOC after her that's going to shut down your investments. So are you going to make those necessary investments that would decrease the pricing in oil in the United States and increase supply? So at least that's kind of what the oil companies are saying, is that you've told us you don't want our businesses here. So this is kind of like their last stand to kind of cash in on existing infrastructure.
Yeah, well, listen, let's just say hypothetically, right, that we were in, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, let's say hypothetically that the president of the United States and every single major corporation and everybody, you know, everyone in Congress and really on both sides of the aisle, like the Democrats state this and there's not much pushback from the Republicans. But let's just say hypothetically, they all agreed that in 1 year, we're going to ban podcasting. Podcasting is no longer going to be a thing. We have to get off podcasting to save the planet. And we all agree that at this point, let's just make it a year to make it more exaggerated, we're going to get off of this. Do you think me and you might start not investing in a podcast anymore? Like, do you think Lewis and Ralph would be building more studio spaces to bring more? Like, no, probably not. Right. And so now, okay, I know they say 10, 15 years, but as your point, this is like the kind of the window of these investments, that the time frame that you have to be thinking in. So yeah, of course, if everybody's saying we're going to be completely off of fossil fuels, we're going to be completely carbon neutral or whatever in 15 years, then yeah, of course, oil companies are going to be a little hesitant to make investments on that time frame. And so this is what's going on right now, is, you know, they're being demonized by the politicians for record high profits. But the fact is that they're just not reinvesting these profits. They're sitting on them because they don't know exactly which way the political winds are going to blow. No pun intended.
And you can see that in the dividends that they're now paying out to investors as opposed to, you know, investing in growth and in their companies. But in terms of the New World Order, what I kind of see them doing, which also my conspiracy brain starts wondering how intentional this was, but it seems like they're trying to go, listen, gas prices are always going to now be $5 or $6 a gallon. And so what we need to do is pivot to green energy. This is our opportunity because gas is so expensive that now the windmills and your solar panels and other things might make sense. And the risk of working on fossil fuels is that you might have to be working with a country like Russia, which is so evil. So we need to get away from that. And that to me is like this new socialism kind of based off of a green initiative. And what makes it socialism is that fossil fuels are really good. You know, cheap energy is kind of the foundation of a good economy. So if you're going to purposely slow down the economy and make people pay more for, you know, basically every good and service going up so that individual companies that are invested in green energy can profit. You know what I mean? That's top down centralized control socialism in the name of benefiting strategic partners like a BlackRock.
Yeah. Well, Ludwig von Mises, the greatest economist to ever live, he had this great quote, which I can't exactly remember off the top of my head, but he had some quote about ignoring economic laws. And he was like, you can ignore economic laws, but they're still laws. Like, you can ignore them, but they're still like, you're still going to have to deal with that reality in the same sense that I could say I could ignore gravity and jump off a building, but pretty soon I'm going to meet gravity. Gravity is going to let me know that it is in fact there. And it's funny watching these people who just don't know nothing about economics or know and just completely lie about it. But at one point in the speech, Joe Biden said that we know that we can lower the price of green energy. And it's just funny when you hear the government talk about lowering prices. You know, like, it's like, do you motherfuckers even know what a price is? Do you even know what that means? Like, what is it? You know, and it's like, that's the problem, is that it seems like far too many people don't know. But like, if the price of something is too high, that's information. It's information that's being conveyed to you. In the same way, if the price of something is so low, that's also information. I remember, you know, the Federal Reserve talking about this when they were buying up the toxic assets after the 08 crash. And they're like, well, I mean, if the Federal Reserve doesn't buy them, I mean, no one else is going to buy them. They're worth zero. And you're like, exactly. Like, that is some market information for you right there, which is that nobody wants, these are worthless. So you buying it is just basically putting the taxpayer on the hook for worthless assets. That's not good. The fact that these other forms of energy are expensive are letting you know, it's literally the market telling you that these are not ready to take care of the country. And you can try to, you know, do whatever hocus pocus you want. I can say there's no such thing as gravity and jump off this building. I'm still going to fucking fall because the laws of gravity still exist. So you can say whatever you want about, oh, we're going to move the numbers and make it appear as if these are cheaper. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Blueblocks. Blueblocks is an incredible company that makes sunglasses and glasses that are not just fashionable, but that actually take care of real problems like glare, UV, blue light, and they just look great. You got to check them out. I personally love the blue light blocking glasses. If you're like me and you get too much screen time, that can have real negative effects on your sleep, on your energy, on all sorts of other things. You put on the blue light blocking glasses, you don't have this problem at all. All Blueblocks glasses are made in optics laboratories in Australia. They're not mass produced in factories in Asia. They're stylish frames that have been featured in QC and Vogue. They have science-backed technology. They're tested to ensure that they work. Unlike other sunglass companies, Blueblocks analyzes light and only filter the damaging wavelengths so you can be your healthiest self. They filter 100% of UV. Other brands are like 98, 99%. And of course, as I mentioned, they filter the blue light as well, whereas other brands ignore this completely. Go check them out. Their sunglasses come in non-prescriptions, prescriptions, and reading options. They have styles for everyone and a virtual try-on Amazon app, which is really cool. It kind of, you see how the glasses look on your face before you order them. Blue Box also has other amazing products such as blue light glasses, low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, and 100% blackout sleep masks, all backed by science. Blue Box ships worldwide in rapid time. Easy returns and exchanges. Go check them out at blueblocks.com/problem and use the promo code problem to save 15%. That's blueblocks.com/problem, blueblox.com/problem. Use the coupon code problem to save 15% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that there will not be enough energy to meet your needs. That reality is going to come back to you whether you choose to ignore it or not. The truth is that with so many of these problems, whether it's the supply chain stuff or whether it's gas prices or any of it, the answer to this politically is what the answer always is, which is literally, I mean, it's so obvious that all you need to do is just have free market capitalism. These problems are solved. These problems, I'm not saying that solves every problem. You know, the human condition comes along with some problems. You know, the fact that humans are flawed creatures, that's, there's always going to be some problems in the world. But the idea that you're like, we have more than enough natural resources in this country. I mean, look, just if you think about it this way, if they, to the point you were making before that we were talking about, if you just said to all of the oil companies, listen, we are completely backing off of this plan to be off of fossil fuels, to be carbon neutral. There's from here henceforward, there's going to be no regulations on oil and gas and all of this stuff. You can go drill on any land that you own. You can drill on public land. You can drill on your private land. We're going to just let you do business. If there's a market for it, go out and sell it. No problem. And no one's coming to get you. Theoretically, let's say some 30-year-old was just elected and he was going to be, you know, king for 30 years. He controls Congress and, you know, like you had assurances that this was not going to happen anytime in the future. What do you think would happen with the cost of gas?
Going down.
Go way down. And we'd have plenty and we'd be the world's biggest exporter. You know what I mean? We'd have more than enough energy for our country to the point that we'd be selling it to the rest of the world. There'd be money flooding into the United States and all of this pain at the pump would go away. You know, we have, you know, you talk about things like food, but we have more farmable land in America than any other country on earth. You think under laissez-faire capitalism, we'd have any problem producing enough food for our country? Do you really think this country, this level of economy,
you probably where, stop turning food into fuel, which then creates other environmental problems?
Right. Well, I mean, but do you think a country where just kind of common sense looking at it, do you think if this country was free and business was allowed to flourish and operate, do you really think that in the same country where me and you can have weekly conversations from across the country, looking at a screen at each other and then put it out to the people, all the tens of thousands of people who are going to be watching this within the next, you know, few minutes of it being uploaded and all this shit. Like, do you think we'd have trouble producing baby formula in this country absent government interference? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like, this is all so obviously could just go away. So that also, you know, you keep in the background while you hear Biden being like, nope, you're just going to have to suffer like this because we have these global ambitions. And so this is all, you know, it's all insanity. I just got what's his name? Was it Alex Epstein? Is that his name? He just wrote a new book called Fossil Future, Future Fossil.
I have it on my shelf. He's really cool. I bought the book. I have to read it, but he's cool.
Well, his previous book was fantastic. And was the moral case for fossil fuels.
For fossil something fuels, like that. Yeah.
He's fantastic. And that's, I mean, people should look into it, but just like the idea that we've so demonized cheap, capable energy is really something. It's so bizarre. It's like the idea that you're like, oh yeah, this is this thing that is like the lifeblood of modern advanced economies. And let's demonize that.
People also don't realize that it's self-correcting. And that if we continue to grow economically, like, we don't even know the technological inventions that are down the road. So, like, if you're really concerned about fossil fuels, the solution is burning them. Burn them, burn them, burn them. We'll keep growing. And then down the line, we don't even know the technological inventions that they might have to get us off of them. And then, of course, any conversation about fossil fuels, you can't ignore nuclear, which we could be carbon free worldwide. We don't even know how good the nuclear technology would be. Now they're looking into like the new, like small modular nuclear reactors, which there's a lot of like, I think the military submarines like run off that shit. So like it's already done. There's a reason why we're not purely nuclear and it's just regulations.
Yep. Yep. No, 100%. You're absolutely right. All right. So switching gears here, this caught both of our eyes. AOC, the brilliant economist, was on with Stephen Colbert, the former funny person, and they had a talk. They were talking just about the state of the country, fallout of the abortion SCOTUS decision, and this came up.
When you mean delegitimize, and I want to hear the rest of the answer, but yeah. I hear that word delegitimize, and certainly in Casey, they actually were worried that they would lose legitimacy in the court. They'd do irreparable damage to the court.
Yes.
What do you mean when you say delegitimize?
So what that means is that the Supreme Court has a power. Its power is in whether its rulings are heeded and respected, and if so, how much and to what extent. And when we have the framing of, you know, the framing of our government, the presidency, Congress, the president, Congress, and the Supreme Court are supposed to be three co-equal branches, co-equal, none with supremacy over the other. And when any one of those branches overreaches its authority, it is the responsibility of the other two to check the overreach of that authority. The Supreme Court has engaged in the overreaching of its authority in denying the human and civil rights of any pregnant person or person that could become pregnant.
All right,
in
just
the United
pause
States
it for a
America.
Second.
They have
it's a fascinating civics lesson from AOC there. So the Supreme Court making abortion the law of the land is not overreaching. But the Supreme Court saying that we don't have the authority to make it the law of the land, the states can decide, that is an overreach. Now, what she says here, and she, I mean, listen, AOC is not this stupid, okay? But when she says that the Supreme Court has denied a basic right. Now, first of all, it's just so funny, as I always say, they can't bring themselves to even take on the argument. Yeah, I was on Kennedy the other night, and one of the progressives guests that Kennedy regularly has on is this guy, Richard Fowler. And he said, you know, he brought up, he was talking about abortion, and he goes, well, I just think there's a lot of externalities to abortion that Republicans aren't considering. Like, what about, you know, and then, you know, uses like the crazy rare, but horrible example. What about the baby that's, you know, got a horrible condition, the health of the mother, things like this? And I said at some point, I go, yeah, Richard, but like from the pro-life position, there's an externality to every abortion, which is the dead baby. You know, it's just like, so, it's like, it's always like you're talking to pro-life people and going, you know, I don't really think you've thought this through because there could be some negative externalities that you're not thinking about. It's like, how are we even having a conversation here if you can't address what the other side's argument is? You know what I mean? Like, anyway, but when she says, so this idea that you're denying a right, well, of course, the question is about whether it's a right or not, right? Because if it's killing a baby, then no, you don't have that right. That's the question. If it's just, if you're starting from the assumption that it's a right, then yeah, of course, you know, whatever. But even that would be incorrect because she says the Supreme Court has overstepped by denying a right. Supreme Court has not denied anything. The Supreme Court said that state governments can write laws about this. So even in this case, your argument would be here that the state of Texas is denying a right. Okay? That would be the argument to make. There's no argument here that the Supreme Court has stepped out. But isn't it funny that all of the sudden, claiming, like she just said, co-equal branches, right? And everyone was so upset with Donald Trump for claiming that Joe Biden is the illegitimate president. But now all of a sudden, the Supreme Court is illegitimate. And she's not even making an argument that, like, well, at least Trump, even if he's wrong, was saying, well, look, there were all these dumps. There was cheating. There was widespread fraud. That's why Joe Biden is illegitimate as president. Now, at least that would make sense. You could say that's not true, but if it were true, then there would be an argument there. She's just saying they're illegitimate because she doesn't like the way they ruled. That's it. Therefore, illegitimate. I don't like it. I think the federal government should decide this, not the states. Therefore, illegitimate.
It's such a crazy outlook that they have, where it's like their opinion is the end result that I want is absolutely true and moral. So any process that didn't get me the end result that I wanted must be corrupt.
And then they talk all day long about democracy. Like they talk all day long about the process and how much they love the process. It's like, oh, okay. Well, what if, like, okay, right now I do think, you know, probably it depends on what poll you look at and how specifically they ask the question, how many weeks into pregnancy. But more people certainly believe that abortion should be legal under some circumstances than believe it should be illegal under all circumstances. There's definitely more people in the country that believe that. It's like, okay, but what if there wasn't? What if 51% of people thought it should be illegal under all circumstances? Then if we had a national referendum, would that be legitimate? Would AOC go, yep, well, that's democracy for you? Of course not. She'd still say that's illegitimate. So it's just like what you're saying. There is no, basically, yes, unless you get a progressive end, it's illegitimate. That's it. Any questions? That's what we're up against. All right, guys. A very happy 4th of July weekend to everybody. And you know, no better way to celebrate Independence Day than celebrating freedom with Kratom at yokratom.com. Now, if you're not a fan of Kratom, you've never heard of it before, just ignore this. But if you like Kratom, go get it at yokratom.com. They've got quality Kratom, and it's the best deal you'll find anywhere, $60 for a kilo. They're also the marquee sponsor of Skankfest, a sponsor of this show, the sponsor of Yo MMA Rap. So they really support everything that I'm doing. And if you're getting Kratom from anywhere, you're better off getting it at yokratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Go check them out, yokratom.com. All right, let's get back into the show. There's a couple more seconds of the video. We could play that.
Engaged in overreach, and it is the responsibility of the president and Congress to put the Supreme Court in check because they have delegitimized themselves.
What does that mean, to put the Supreme Court in check if you didn't get the result you wanted? It sounds like you just want a dictatorship like that. And the other part that annoys is that the process is supposed to be, we got a constitution, Supreme Court, basically, if a law is passed, they just see is in check with the constitution. Now, you can change the constitution. I mean, if the entire voting public wanted a right to abortion, couldn't they create a new law that said that it is the United States recognizes that every single woman should have a fundamental right to abortion? Like if 99% of the country thought like that, the same as they thought, I guess, at some point we shouldn't have slaves. You can change the document, and then the Supreme Court would have to enforce the document the way that it's been changed to be.
I don't even think you would need an amendment to the Constitution. I mean, they could write a law. They could write a law that says, you know what I mean? That like that women that, you know, I mean, I don't even know, but I think they could just write a law that says that, you know, at least through say the first trimester or something like that, you can't restrict women's abortion or something like that. But yes, if you're right, to make it like really strong, you could amend the Constitution, put an amendment in there. But yeah, but they know they don't have the votes for that. So, you know, it's again, it does come back to that democratic process. And by the way, I mean, despite the energy that this is, you know, pumped into the left, the Democrats look like they're going to get stomped out in the midterm elections. So this whole democratic process, again, probably ain't going to lead the way you like it. But no, what she's saying now is that Joe Biden should really consider packing the court. That should be what they consider going after next. So there you go. These words have no meaning. The Supreme Court is now delegitimized, and to legitimize it, we're just going to have to pack the court, but more justices
the
in
court,
there.
I know that there. It, historically, it's even been done. Was it once or twice that they've done it?
FDR did it. I think that's the only time. I could be mistaken.
But to me, packing the court would be no different than, you know, if you lost an election, you're like, well, we're going to add elector colleges. We're going to, you know, at Puerto Rico. And guess what? They had 20 people for me. It's like, if you need to kind of establish the rules to the game and let that game play. Now, the current game, I agree, it's kind of dumb that when people die, you get to put in your justices. Like, it's not an interpretation of law. We're currently, you know what I mean? Because you kind of know exactly the way people are going to rule, and the game is trying to get as many of those people onto the court. So it's stupid. It's not like an interpretation of law. So if you wanted to rewrite the rules for the entire way that this is done, I would entertain that, because I think the current system is really stupid. But just to lose and go, all right, well, we got to temporarily, they go, oh, we have to temporarily block the filibuster. We need the filibuster. The filibuster is really important.
No, it's,
but this one, we got to take a pause to it.
But it's not even adding electoral colleges. Like, to, I agree basically with what you're saying, but it's like adding presidents.
Yeah, it's like, you're just changing the rules.
Donald Trump won the presidency, but we're just going to change the rules so that there's three presidents. So it's Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
And then it's two against three, because then they vote on everything.
Yeah, yeah. And the three of them have to come to a majority consensus or so, you know? It's just ridiculous. All right, there's some more with AOC. Let's go to that.
There, it's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Couple quick things before we go. You know, there's some speculation as to whether President Biden is going to run in 2024. There's some reports that he's a little frustrated that people keep asking, because he keeps on saying yes. And people go, are you sure? I know somebody who's going to turn 35 about a month before the election in 2024. And they represent New York's 14th. Is that job appealing to you at all?
I think that...
Theoretically.
Listen, I think that we need to focus on keeping a democracy for anybody to be president in the next couple of years. And that's my central focus, is helping the people of this country.
Right? So it's possible.
I don't know about all that. Well, I don't know about
that. I'm just here to get you in trouble.
Exactly. You're
that's
getting
my
me
job
in trouble.
To get you in trouble.
I don't know.
Okay, before we go,
Stephen Colbert does seem to ask her if she would run for president. I love there's just something so funny about this. She goes, well, we have to protect our democracy so that anybody can be president. Like, so what does this even mean? What is she saying? So, because again, it's just right back to your point. It's just, it's fascinating how this is just like their worldview or outlook. It's like, oh yeah, like if Donald Trump wins, then it's illegitimate. Then you're not really a president. Then we don't have a president anymore. Again, because they voted for the guy you didn't like. Then all of a sudden it's not real. I did think something else there was interesting and revealing, and it's almost the thing that goes under the radar. What's really interesting here is that this is very blatantly, and you should really notice this, because this is how politics works. The role of AOC here, typically speaking, I mean, just imagine someone that she wasn't in yet, but someone in her position in the year 2011, 2012, or 2011 or 2010, and they're asked about Obama running for re-election, and Obama has said every single time he's been asked, "Yes, I'm running for re-election." No question. I'm the president, and I'm going to be running for my second term. Yes. I'm asked. And some young progressive congresswoman is asked, well, you know, a lot of people have been speculating over whether he's going to run for president, but, you know, he's annoyed they're speculating, because every single time he says yes. But would you consider running for president? And they go, well, I don't know about that. Wouldn't you immediately see what's going on here? No, the response is supposed to be, no, the president has told you he's running for re-election, and I fully support him because he's done such a great job. That's what the response is supposed to be. That's not at all what she did. This is throwing Biden under the bus, whether people catch that or not. That not only is she entertaining the idea that it's possible that he may not run for re-election, but also not saying that she would support him in the case that he did. Because if you would support him and you think he's doing a great job, then you would just say that. No, I'm for Biden. That's the guy. I'm not president. I'm not running for president. So there's something interesting here. And even the tacit admission by Stephen Colbert, you know, a lot of people are speculating, even though he says this, even though he says that he's running all the time. Well, why is that? Why are so many people speculating? I mean, I know you guys aren't actually allowed to admit it out loud, but Because he's senile? Because he's way too old to be competent at any job, let alone this job? Because you're not sure that he would be up to the task of being a greeter at Home Depot? And yet he's the president of the United States of America? Does that have something to do with it? Maybe. Just saying. It's kind of interesting how the two of them dance around this, even though they're not saying it directly, that it's pretty obvious right there. You're like, oh, if you really thought this guy was competent and doing a great job, as you kind of pretend to, then why would we even be having this conversation? Why wouldn't you dismiss this immediately? Anyway, I just thought that was...
I love the idea of Biden at Home Depot. Guy walks in, excuse me, where do I find the wood? And he's like, we don't have any wood here. There's no wood.
Hey, come on, Jack. Don't you come at me in here talking about wood. This is a bookstore. So this is your vest says Home Depot on it. He goes, what? Oh, you're crazy, man. Can I sniff your kid's hair? No.
Put this vest on me.
All right. That's our show for today. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon. Catch you next time. Peace.